Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. This episode is a very special bonus episode with my dear friend, Julia Padovona, who you heard from last week in our episode together, episode number 88. We recorded this episode together and had this conversation over the summer, and she has already posted it on her podcast, The Smart and Hot Podcast. I will link it down below in the description so you can go check out Julia's podcast. I just wanted to share it here as a bonus for all of you and share this incredible conversation we had. This conversation made me feel so much less alone as a creator in the space of AI and evolving technology. We talked about getting in touch with your inner child, finding ways to remain creative and authentic, and how social media has really shaped so much of ourselves and our society nowadays. If you are not already following this podcast, please feel free to follow whether you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can also find the video version of so many more episodes over on YouTube at the Perfectly Imperfect Podcast YouTube channel. Additionally, follow along on Instagram for some behind the scenes and podcast clips at perfectlyimperfect.pod. And you can always connect with me over on Instagram as well at jenny.mini. If you enjoyed this episode and enjoy listening to this podcast, I'd be so appreciative of you leaving a quick review or a star rating, or just share this podcast with someone you think may love it. And with that, let's get right into the episode.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome, Jenny, to the Smart and Hot Podcast.
Thank you so much, Julia. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here and logging on and joining. You're all the way in Paris right now. So why don't we just start this episode off by you giving like a quick little vibe check, like where are you in the world? How are you feeling today? What space are you in energetically? Give us the full tea.
yeah, of course. Well, for those who don't know me, my name is Jenny Minnie. I am currently in Paris. I have been here for the last 6 weeks, so since like end of May, and it has just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. So vibes are very high, energy is very high here, but equally, like we were just talking about off recording, we're human, and I've been having some low moments as well, a lot of like reflections and kind of moments of realization, and that things I want to pivot and change and misalignments in my life. I feel like those have been coming up a lot this summer, which is always uncomfortable to realize like, oh wait, that actually isn't working for me, or you know, something I thought I was okay with, I'm actually not. So managing that has been a little difficult at times, but just overall trying to remain positive when I can and try to ground myself in gratitude for being in this beautiful city. I've met some wonderful people. I've progressed my French speaking so much, which is just like a dream of mine to speak French, which is kind of one of the main reasons I came. But yeah, usually I've been based in New York City since end of 2023. So I was there for about a year and a half, and I'm returning back in August, but actually I haven't said this out loud yet, but I'm leaving New York at the end of August to move in with my mom, just to kind of settle and figure out where I want to be. But I have a feeling Paris will be my next stop again.
Beautiful. Congratulations. That's huge.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's huge.
I'm excited.
Did you come to this decision while you were on this trip, or was it something that you had decided before and you were like aware of that as you were leaving?
No, I was not aware of it at all as I was leaving. I fully made the decision while I was on this trip. I think, like I was mentioning, just having certain realizations about myself and really trying my best. And I mean, that's been a journey I've been on for the last year, just like really trying to tune in with myself and discover like what that little voice of intuition is trying to say, because she's been quieted and pushed away for many years of my life. And just trying to listen to that, I feel like I've been hearing it a lot stronger here in Paris. And I just was like, I feel called to leave New York at this time. I love the city, and I have a really good feeling that I'm going to be returning back there. I mean, my partner's there as well, and, you know, ideally we could live together there one day. But yeah, this time I'm not feeling called to be there. And yeah, just felt really good and really confident and proud of myself here. And I was like, this is how I want to be feeling more of this and being in situations where I can, yeah, recognize these parts of myself that I've been struggling to recognize for a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that so vulnerably. That's got to be scary. I've actually had that thought so many times myself too, where New York is a tough city, especially like when you're in your 20s and you're figuring yourself out and trying to figure out what you want to do. I feel like the energy really can be a lot sometimes. And for me, all the times that I have gained perspective on my life in New York have been when I leave.
So leave, yeah.
You have to leave. It's like one of those cities that you just have to leave. And one thing that you said that I want to reflect back to you that I think is so beautiful is that you were like, I have a feeling that I'll be back. I feel like we come to these decisions and we have these moments where we want to take a step back or we want to pull away or step away from something. And like giving yourself permission for that not to be final. Nothing has to be final. Like you can go explore other places and other opportunities and other parts of yourself. And then if it's meant for you, it will always be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you just said that. That's also something I've talked a lot about on my podcast as well, struggling with that kind of black and white thinking. And I think one of my main focuses has just been to lean into the gray area, lean into the middle ground. And although that's uncertain, it's undefinable, like you said, doesn't have to be a finite amount of time or energy. It's just, it's the gray area. It's not thinking in these extremes. And I think for so long, like even coming to this decision, lots of tears, lots of chats with my therapist about this, because I just feel like I wanted to define it so badly of like, okay, I'm here or I'm there and there's no in between. But doing exactly as you said, kind of working through that and realizing, well, I can go there and try it out. If I hate it, I can pivot, I can move. I've been reminding myself there's not many decisions that are completely irreversible. And that's something that's been really freeing my kind of black and white thinking.
I feel like that comes with age too. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, yeah. cute. So your like frontal lobe is about to be fully developed. It's starting to like sink in now. You're like, oh, I have time, like everything's actually fine. I'm 26. I just turned 26 like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, happy belated.
Thank you. Yeah, but I really feel like the time frame between 24 and now is like, whoa. If you are open to, and like the reason that we're connecting and the reason why like we feel aligned with each other is because I know that you're this way, but you want to feel connected to yourself and your life. And there's always this effort towards, I want to say optimization, and sometimes that's healthy, sometimes it's not. But if you're committed to the path of growing within yourself and your connection to the world around you, I feel like you just start to realize these things. Like everything is actually so nuanced and gray, and there's really no right or wrong. Like there's no good or bad, and everyone is operating from what they know. And the only way that we can learn is just by having experience. And experiencing it in our bodies.
But the world around doesn't always like leave space for that. It's like, if you jump into this, you have to know exactly what you're doing, and you have to know how it's going to pan out. You have to know what your first step is, your second step is, your final step is. But it's like, no, that's not like really how things work. And it's too much pressure to put on yourself, to expect yourself to know all of those things before even experiencing it. Like, I don't know.
And the pressure to like perform and always be working towards success, like going along with optimization, that like concept of self-optimization or self-actualization. It's such a fine line between like becoming your smart and hot self or just constantly working towards something that isn't actually achievable and not being able to find any present joy. Like, mm-hmm. there's such a thin line between yeah. that. And right now, I'm in this season of life personally where it's like, I have been so, like, disciplined and strict and regimented with myself, which has gotten me very far up to this point. But now I'm like, okay, let me just, like, look around and be like, I have so much to be grateful for. I have so much life to live. I don't need to know exactly how everything is going to work out right now. I know it's going to. When has it ever not? It always yeah. works out better and better and better and better. So, like, I don't have to know the answer right now.
Right.
Or that
right.
the outcome. There really is no outcome.
Right. Or known outcome prior to mm-hmm. you jumping into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, like, you're realizing that strict routine and, you know, discipline, I don't know, at least for me in my experience, I relate to that a lot. It's like, I thought that that was the way to get things done. I thought that was the way to motivate myself. I thought that was, like, just the way to be yeah. and live and achieve and grow. But like you said, going through these journeys of getting to know ourselves, getting in touch with ourselves, healing certain traumas if needed, mm-hmm. you realize that maybe all of that is a external pressure, a way society makes you think that you need to be and achieve and grow, and that connecting to yourself and maybe living more aligned to an energy rather than, like, a strict written out schedule is yeah. you know, not the way to live. But I don't know, like you said, it's a really hard balance. I don't know. I think there, I don't want to say completely, like, don't find routine, because I still find a lot of comfort in routine and knowing that I have a plan, and, you know, I know my brain just works that way. But I think mm-hmm. there's a way to check yourself and find a balance and understand when it's kind of crossing that threshold into, like, too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's seasons for both. You know, like,
yeah,
and yeah. it can be both. And I've had seasons where I have felt very fueled and very motivated by being regimented and in this, like, a more, I guess, masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And that served me well, because I think when you're in that energy, you can prove things to yourself and you can show yourself what you're capable of. But if you're always in that space where you're always, like, pushing and pushing and pushing, you don't, you need space to integrate. And that can look like a couple weeks. That can look like a couple days. That could be, like, months of your life where you're like, let me just sit back and, like, and you can still right. be moving forward in that time, but your progress doesn't have to be so fast all the time. That is yeah. what I feel like today in, like, this current, like, content, AI, social media,
mm-hmm.
fucked up world landscape that we're living in. It's like everything has to be happening fast, and we need to be so connected, and we need to be also striving towards this, like, perfection and visibility. And, like, I have even been, I don't want to say I'm a victim to it, because, like, I have learned things, but, like, it's like the social media striving towards, like, influencership.
Yep.
And, like, yep. trying to create short form content with the goal of it being seen so that hopefully people will, like you and go listen to your long form content,
right.
the podcast. But, like, it, that for me has that fast, like, bite sized, quick grab your attention, fleeting thing has taken so much joy out of, like, creative expression for me. And so I've yeah. been in this space of, like, let me just not put the pressure on myself to, like, create anything right now, because I need to find my voice again. There's so much noise
yeah.
in specifically social media. Like, there's just
yeah.
constant intake. So, again, like, when you speak about connecting with yourself, that requires, like, pulling back and not taking anything in for a little bit or putting anything out. Like, we need to have these winters.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
nature. That's yeah. nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I love all of that that you said. I resonate so deeply with, because I've been posting content for a while now, and I feel like it's shifted and ebbed and flowed, and it's been really interesting for me to see how that specific aspect of my life has really helped and hindered my ability to listen to myself. And like you said, slow down, hibernate, listen to myself. And I think this time in Paris too has really brought light to that for me as well. I mean, there's a hustle here, but not like New York City. Yeah. And there's influencing content, being full-time content creators, like they exist here, but it's just not so much like thrown in your face. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I've really, really resonated with about this city, and that people aren't like constantly sharing and like projecting and asking for attention. There's just mm-hmm. this very like desperate energy that I too fell into in New York. Mm-hmm. And I guess I didn't realize how much it was affecting me and bothering me and kind of hindering me from really connecting to my voice and my authentic creativity until I left, like we said before.
Yeah. Why did you start creating content? What drew you to it?
Yeah. Well, I started in 2021, and originally was documenting my eating disorder recovery journey. I was diagnosed with anorexia during COVID, during lockdown, basically. Reached a very low, dark place in my life, and I found so much comfort in girls my age showing up on social media, breaking down, like, you know, and it sort of opposing diet culture, opposing this eating disorder, mm-hmm. like disordered eating, exercise habits that were being projected on social media at the time. And I found so much comfort in these girls like myself sharing the opposite of that, saying, hey, you don't need to listen to this. That is not your truth. You don't need to conform and follow this. There's actually a way to love your body and appreciate what it does for you and eat nourishing foods and fuel yourself. And yeah, I think that was just such an integral part of my start of my recovery to heal, you know, physically and mentally, that I kind of felt called to join in, share my voice, share my experience. Because I was like, if these people help me, like, I hope that, you know, even more voices and different perspectives, someone might see themselves in my journey and I can help them that way. So yeah, that was how I started, just kind of sharing thoughts, observations, experiences, highs, lows. There was a bit of like food content, you know, to try to just break down the barriers of like food rules and you have to eat a certain way. But as I progressed and like kind of went throughout my own recovery, I realized like I don't have a love of cooking. I don't have a love of food. And that was something that really stemmed like from my eating disorder, this kind of like obsessive thinking about food. Although it was no longer disordered. It was just like, I'm not a foodie. Like I'm not a food content person. Yeah. So that was a big shift for me in that I wanted to just really shift from that to like more lifestyle and, you know, incorporating my thoughts on recovery and just trying to, I've started vlogging more, doing YouTube, sharing my podcast as well. And all of that was like really aligning with me so, so much more. So yeah, it's just kind of grown from there. And I'm so grateful for this journey, but equally there have been some hard moments, as you probably relate to.
Yeah. And it's, you go in with the intention of creating something like it's like so pure for your inner child. And then I've spoken a lot about this with my friend Vanessa. Do you know Vanessa Fontana?
Yes, actually. Yeah. I reached out to her. We've chatted before. She's so sweet.
I love her. But we've talked about this a lot because with social media, it's like sometimes it actually feels, once you start going in with like the goal of it being seen or knowing that people are seeing you, that's when it gets sticky, like the line of being seen versus being perceived, like, and creating with the goal of being seen in a pure way or being seen in a like validated and I don't know, like virality way. And there's so much of that too, because it's like there's no shame in the desire to like want your shit to go viral, because then it's like people will see me, right? There's opportunity to make money on social media now, like a lot of money. And we see that we're constantly, that's like thrown in our face too, is like influencership. Everybody wants to be a content creator now, right? Like, right. It's, yeah. And people are, yeah. There's so much information about, like, how you can become that. But for me, and, like, again, like, in this kind of time period where I feel like I'm stepping away from trying to share so much and constantly create so much, is, like, my voice that's been coming back to me is, like, get back to why you started. Like, the purity of, like, allowing that creativity to come in and not have so much of a strategy around it and a need to, like, execute in a very regimented, specific way. I think that's helpful, but again, it's always a both and.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I've too been going through a similar journey. I think going back to kind of my growth, I'm thinking, like, once I hit, like, 10,000 followers, like, a year later, I started getting brand deals, and all of that was, like, really, really exciting. And I started working with brands, actually making money through this, making money through Instagram, because I was also there at, like, the start of Reels. So, like, I was, you know, all my Reels were, like, popping off, but it's since plateaued. And if anything, decreased. And that's been something I've been really, like, struggling with, but I don't know. And it, like, I don't know, I don't like to admit it, but, like, it got to me for a while. It really did. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I've really worked hard to build this. And now it's just going away. But I think that was such a crucial part of my journey, and is still a crucial part, because that's made me realize I can, and just generally, we can attach how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our creativity on these external things like social media. Yeah. And I was putting so much pressure on social media to give me this inspiration, this motivation, because like, okay, the numbers kept rising, the checks, like, you know, the invoices kept rising, like, this is going great, but something in it stopped aligning with me. And then it started reflecting through, you know, the outcome of my analytics and things like that. And I really beat myself up for a long time. But I think in the last few months, I've really just, I don't know, like you said, taken a step back and realized, like, okay, this is something I've been putting too much weight into, to the point that I've, like, lost my voice. I've lost why I started. And again, don't love to admit that, but I think it's something that can easily happen. But being able to ground yourself in the reality and kind of know when to step back, reel back, and kind of bring that validation into within yourself has been absolutely crucial to me. I mean, I'm not perfect every day. I still have moments where I'm like, oh, damn, like, didn't, you know, go as well as I thought. Yeah. But I just remind myself that if I like it and I'm enjoying the creative process, then that's truly all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that, because that's real. Okay. And, like, maybe it feels hard to admit that. And maybe it's like, maybe there's, like, a little bit of shame attached to that. But, like, you being able to just fucking say it gives everyone else permission to be like, wait, yeah, me too. Because guess what? We're all actually feeling that way. Like, whether or not we're consciously aware of it. Oh, let's remember that we're human and that we are not immune to pressures of the ego and pressures of, like, lower operating levels of consciousness, right? Like, this is the world that we live in, America. Yeah. Like, we're American. But yeah, it's real. And I think for me personally, and what I see happening is, I think that we are experiencing a shift. Like, there's going to be a shift back towards humanness. We want humanness. I think the social media landscape right now is lacking humanity, with AI, with ChatGPT, with, like, CapCut and Facetune, and things that, like, I'm not going to say that I've never used CapCut to, like, retouch my face when I'm posting a long form video. Like, I'm not going to say that I haven't done that, but it's like, now I'm starting to see it in, like, everyone. Like you see it and you're like, wait, I actually don't like this. So now I'm like, wait, what if we could be, like, the pioneers of the shift back towards humanity? And, like, I want
to
see,
like, I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah,
I want,
like,
to be on that
boat. Me.
Like,
And I saw this, like, some, like, repost or something on Instagram recently where it was, like, just, like, it was some girl, she was making a reel about how social media makes her feel very small, and, like, she constantly has to, like, change things about herself and her appearance and, always be buying more and wearing new outfits and things like that. And it's like, yeah, like, can we all just actually admit that? Like, that's really how it can make you feel at the end of the day if you're not conscious.
Yeah. I've actually had so many conversations about this kind of stuff during my time here in Paris. And I feel like that's definitely a big factor as to why I'm feeling so energetically aligned, like, here and with the people that I'm meeting. Because I was literally having a conversation with someone about, like, the hyper-consumerism of America, just, like, influencers and things like that. And to be honest, like, that in itself has kind of been a major, like, turn-off for me for striving to do this and pursue this as my full-time job. Like, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's very glamorized. It's a very flexible job. You have complete freedom over how you work, when you work, what you do. I mean, maybe not complete freedom, but a lot more freedom than, like, if you're sitting in an office all day in the same building. Mm-hmm. So I get the appeal, but I think just thinking about, like, how much we consume in the US and we throw away, and just the sheer amount of just stuff, like, I don't know, like, I've seen no Amazon packages here at this apartment building, whereas in my building in New York City, there's, like, always at least a handful of Amazon packages at my door, and I too am guilty of that. It's easy, it's convenient, I'll get things delivered when I'm just thinking about it. Oh, I ran out of this, I'll just get it delivered. But, like, where has the art of just, like, walking to your local store or fixing something, you know, getting out your needle and thread and patching that hole in your shirt rather than just throwing it away and buying a new one? Like, I don't know. That's something I'm really going to take back with me. And I feel like has just become so blown out of proportion because of social media and influencers and things like that. But equally, like, I don't know. I understand. Like, that's how people make money. They make money by getting clicks and selling products, and brands have the money to pay influencers to do that. But I don't know. I think I just don't super align with that.
People are waking up to it too. And like I said, like, there's going to be a shift, right? Like, it's like, this is just, there's always a pendulum swinging one direction or the other. So it's like, it's an era that we're in. Like, things can always shift and realign and change. We're in the middle of the transition, like, transition of humanity right now. And that can feel really unsettling because there is so much unknown and so much fear. And the internet wants us to be in fear so that we stay online and we're hooked and we're, like, in the addiction of the stress response. And it's like, what is it like to live your real life?
Let's not forget about that sensation
in your body, and like you're in Paris, like, take a walk and, like, fucking sweat in the middle of the heat wave, and, like, I don't know, eat a croissant and smoke a cigarette or whatever you do in Paris.
Like,
live.
But you're so right. How have you been, like, really embodying that, and kind of how has that been looking for you, and sort of taking that step back and intentionally choosing not to consistently share, document, create, post,
Yeah, I think it's been allowing my creativity to be elsewhere and used elsewhere. And it's so interesting because, like, Smart and Hot, for example, feels like it's, like, my long-term business purpose. Like, it's like, it feels like a really beautiful tether and something that I want to build into something beautiful. And of course, I want it to make money eventually, but I think I've been giving myself permission to take my time figuring out what the way to monetize with integrity is, and, like, do it in a way that's unique and not be looking at everyone else on the internet who's doing, like, a course or coaching or a membership, or, you know, like there's so many things that I have ideas of doing, but it's like, if I'm constantly intaking, like, I want to make sure it's coming from me. So instead, I'm like, let me just not even be pushing towards that. Let me give myself the space for that to come in when it's meant to come in, and focus on other creative things instead. Like, I've been dancing so much. I grew up a dancer, and I went to college and stopped dancing. Like, I had the full traumatic competitive dancer experience that everyone has. And I also struggled with disordered eating habits. I was never diagnosed, with an eating disorder, but I had all kinds of unhealthy attachments and relationships with food and exercise and all of it. But so I didn't dance for like 6 years while I was in college. I did a little bit for fun, but when I moved back to the city, it was my second year in. I just like went to a dance class for fun, and it just unlocked something within me. It was like, this is what's been missing the entire time. And I really feel like the way to reconnect with yourself is to reconnect with the things that you like were so in love with as a child. And for me, like performing, being in my body, like expressing, using my body as like a vessel and feeling really taxed. And like, my friend and I were talking about this, like I'm obsessed when I'm like covered in fucking bruises and like scrapes on my knees and my elbows from like crawling around on the floor. Like that's when I feel most connected to myself. So it's like coming back to your body, I think is that's the unlock for connecting with your creativity. Yeah. And like, if you're going to be putting anything out there, like you have to be inside the vessel that's doing the creating.
Yeah. I really resonate with that as well. I feel like my like best and like deepest creativity and kind of most authentic creativity comes when I just like release the pressure, which feels so counterintuitive because I'm like, oh, if I put enough pressure on myself, like I'll be most creative. Or if I just, if I just stare at this long enough, I'll do it. But it's like, no, you have like sometimes stepping away and just doing something completely different. Like I grew up a dancer as well, so I totally
oh my gosh,
relate to that. Yeah. I did the whole competition. I was a competitive dancer in high school and middle school. Ballet was always my favorite though. So I mean, I've taken a few adult ballet classes, but you know, getting into my body that way, whether now it's more looking like through yoga and Pilates and things like that. But equally, I was like the art studio kid as well. I would always be like in the ceramics room, making a bowl or a mug on the wheel, or I was painting something, sketching something. And I feel like I just, as I've been growing up and kind of becoming more consumed by the creation of content, seeing like, oh, that's the way to be creative now, I've lost touch with some of those other things. So it's so important, and it's becoming increasingly important for me to detach from my phone, turn off, you know, switch it off, turn off the notifications on these apps, and just go sit in a park and draw. Like I've been doing that here. And I feel like just observing the world around me, you know, not watching the clock, not watching how good I'm drawing or bad I'm drawing, like just putting all those judgments aside, I'm like, oh wow, this is actually like so fun. And you know, who cares if I mess up a line and I have to scribble it out a little bit? I'll just turn it into like a flower pot in the side, like, you know, and just adapting, and it doesn't have to look a certain way. And I feel like, yes, creating content on social media is creative. I don't know. It's a space that you can so quickly like look to perfection. Because I think there's
and
so strategy much like comparison
and, like,
in there as well. Yeah.
Specific ways of doing things, like copying someone else's formula because that has proved to work for them. Right. And
Right.
I know exactly what you mean with returning to like artistry and your inner child. And it's like, that's where the joy is too. And that's why we should be doing anything. Like, what a privilege to have enough safety and resources in our actual physical life that we even are able to operate creatively and like go listen to the sound of nothingness in the park and like have an idea to sketch something or a poem drop in. Like, I know when I'm most connected is when I'm like receiving poetry, or I'm inspired to go sit in the park and journal. And like, I was home last week with my family in upstate, and my mom had this like little hand pan drum, and I just remember like sitting outside like with like two little sticks like playing with this drum. And I didn't have my phone, and it was like the first time in such a long time that I had let myself just kind of like experiment. And I had no goal of like making it sound good. I was just kind of enjoying the sounds. And then as you're enjoying the sounds and you're like becoming familiar with which places on the instrument make what sound, then you're like, oh, like, wait, listen, it's like a cute little melody. And it's like, okay, like, let me just create a little bit of a melody, and it doesn't have to be finished. Like, it doesn't have to be executed. There's so much pressure to always be executing. And of course, that's what we want to do because that's what brings art into the world, is the process and the execution and the actual doing. But what about the free flowing, like, pure joy that comes with just like doing something because it's enjoyable and playful?
I feel like exactly, and I feel like you need that in order to actually be able to build something to execute. If you're running off of nothing, like, I think of this visual all the time, like, if I'm not pouring into my own cup, I'm pouring from an empty cup into something else, whether that be my partner, a friend, social media, whatever it be. So you need to, like, give yourself that time to fill, to be creative, to feel proud of yourself, to, you know, maybe build confidence in what you're doing. You can't just expect yourself to be like, okay, I have this idea, I'm going to just do it and execute it right away. Because, I mean, and going back to your point of AI and optimization, like, that's the narrative that we're led to believe now. It's like, you don't have to wait anymore. You can just click a button and do it and go. But it's like, where's the process? Like, where's the feeling proud of yourself? Where's the learning? Where's the failing? Where's the experimenting? And that's like, big issue with like AI and this optimize.
Yes.
We just connected there. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I understand, like, I totally understand why AI is here, and I know it's inevitable. It's, you know, people can push against it, but ultimately the wave will come regardless. Yeah. And I think I work in tech for my main 9-to-5 job. So AI is, you know, spoken about all the time, whether it's in my tool or in the company's tool and how I, you know, do my job. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll just take a conscious effort as humans to not lose sight of that creative process. And I know for myself, like, I am just beginning to feel icky when I maybe like leaned on ChatGPT too much for even my own work, or whether it be my content sometimes. Like, and I'm just like, ooh, no, okay, just closing that for a few more days. Like,
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that out loud, because I just did a couple of episodes where I was like not feeling inspired, and I was kind of in the space of like seeing what was performing well on YouTube and like who was doing what that was performing well. And I was like, okay, like, let me feed ChatGPT some episode ideas and have it help me make an outline and like, you know, like, and have me help it edit my script. But then now, like, you use it enough, and then you go online and you see copy paste who's using ChatGPT. I'm like, I know how that shit talks, and I know that that is not you, and it feels gross. And I feel like slowly but surely everyone will start to realize that, and maybe it won't be something that's like we're so obsessed with. But again, it comes back to that, like, you can have it now. But people are getting dumber because of it. People are not and getting smarter and hotter because they can have everything right this second.
No, ChatGPT may make you believe that it's helping you get smarter and hotter, but you actually help yourself get smarter and hotter. So I don't know, like, I personally have never done this, and absolutely, like, no judgment to anyone who does, but using ChatGPT as your therapist, like, I don't know. That's like that's a boundary personally I don't ever want to cross, because one, thinking about it as like, this is technology. And just the way that technology works, it's not going into the ether of the world and disappearing. Some database has logged what you just typed. It's in it's in the database. It's written. It's there. It's on record. So, like, I don't know. I think about that a lot, of just like, you know, sure, this information isn't, you know, being pasted to the public, and there are ways to censor it. But at the end of the day, it is technology. It is a database. Whatever you say, whatever you share with the world. I mean, same with content, social media. Like, it's out there. Sure, it can be deleted, but it's never really wiped completely.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think I've just been really finding a lot of joy and importance in, like, cherishing my privacy as well, and cherishing mm-hmm. like moments with myself. And like you said, playing with the drums, you just like didn't take your phone and you were just enjoying that moment. I love that. And I've been having moments here like that too. The thought will come to my head of like, oh, I could turn this outing into a reel, and like, how could I put it together and vlog it in the best way? Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to go and feel authentically without needing to plan and picture yeah. and document and capture and package mm-hmm. it all perfectly. It's like, I don't know. I feel like that's something that's been really important to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know I was so emotional about this, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, me either. But it feels good to finally like say it out loud and like really connect with someone else who feels similarly, because hopefully like we can be permission slips to the rest of the collective consciousness who is probably feeling similarly as well. Like mm-hmm. that's what I feel my intention always has been with Smart and Hot, is like, let me just be real. Like
I
started this yes. podcast when I was like going through like the end of like a really painful like situationship, and like I was like really depressed, going through all kinds of trauma responses, living in an apartment that had no sunlight for 3 years with like two other roommates. And like, I look back on that time of my life and I would sit in the dark in my room in my bed and record with like my Yeti blue mic. And I was just like, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a script. It was just so like what was on my heart. And then I found like that having a plan and an outline is actually helpful for me, and that helped me feel more confident in my speaking, like being on camera, like from a nervous system way. But what I found that resonates the deepest with like my small community, like I have a very small community still, but I am at this place where I'm like, what if I don't need to make how many followers or listeners I have mean anything about me or like the quality of what I have to share? And what if I like just go back in with the intention of sharing from a place of like my heart and what feels real and relevant to me in that moment? Because like going back to like collective consciousness, like we're all walking similar paths and having our own life experiences and unique experiences, but we're all like eventually walking towards the same truth, right? Which is like right. self-actualization, fulfilling a sense of purpose and creativity in the world, and hopefully creating your life the way that you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so yeah. beautiful. And thank you for sharing that as well. I feel like it's normal to try these things, and, you know, trial and error, I feel like, is something that's very, very important, and mm-hmm. it's okay. And I feel like it's something that is often like demonized, or I don't know. But yeah, off of that, I feel like I listened to the episode you mentioned about like how you were trying out ChatGPT and just feeling like gross about it. And I, mm-hmm. I resonated with that a lot. And it's beautiful to hear that you have kind of tried those things. I think that's where I was going with the trial and error,
yeah.
like trying out, like, it's okay to try these tools out. They exist, they're here. Try out these resources, but mm-hmm. ultimately like coming back to what really aligns with you. And like you said, just sharing from your heart to your community, no matter how small, and making the point not to reach millions of people, but to reach deeply into yeah. the few people that are in your community, is also something like I am really, really focusing on. But it's also, you know, don't beat yourself up if you got caught up in wanting to reach a million people. I think that's completely normal. And I've definitely yeah. had those desires myself. But when I'm creating from that perspective, I'm not as proud of my work. And it yep. honestly doesn't resonate as deeply with people. It's those episodes, like podcast episodes, it's those YouTube videos that I make that I'm like, oh, I don't like, either maybe it's really vulnerable and it feels a little kind of scary to admit, but I know that it's a message that I want to share and that yeah. I feel really deeply to share. And those are the ones that get the most comments, that get the most engagement, yes. get the most people saying, hey, thank you for saying this, mm-hmm. you know? And if I had maybe listened to whatever ChatGPT prompted me to say, like, I wouldn't have gotten that same response.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel you 100%. And yeah, coming back to that vulnerability and that honesty, and like, I think that is because the online social media world is never going to go away. Like, it's so ingrained in who we are now. But my hope and what like I would love to see happen, what I have a feeling will happen, is that people are going to wake up and they're going to be like, no, we want humanity. We want yeah. someone who's real. And like, I think the creatives, the artists are going to be seen. And it's a longer game, because I think when you're really in your authenticity, sometimes it just takes time for people to truly see you, because you're not in that, like, I need to go viral thing. And maybe you're creating something that's like, maybe a little bit more niche. Maybe it doesn't have to be so mass, but like that specificity and the resonance that you can create just by actually being in your truth and being yourself, and like having tools and perspectives that can support someone else, like, and from a genuine place. Because a lot of my work is in embodiment, like as a movement instructor and a dancer, and like coming back to the body and like felt experience in your body is a big part of like my purpose in my work, I think. And I feel like I'm still developing like what my offering is within that. But there's this concept of like embodied resonance. And so like AI does not have embodied resonance. It's a felt sensation that is created from a human to a human. And whether that's heard through like a real voice or something that they have created, something visual, people can sense it. Like you, mm-hmm. The reason why you resonate with good art is because you feel like what they put into it.
Right, right.
And I think, I hope, and I think that there will be a return to that. I think we're in the peak of like the chaos, and eventually we're going to look around and be like, yo, what did we do here?
I cannot agree with you more. I feel like I have been thinking and I'm hoping for the same thing. I, interesting, was having a conversation about this with some of my work colleagues actually last night, who were, mm-hmm. they were visiting a client in Paris, and we got dinner, and one guy asked, what does the rise of AI like mean for humans? Like, what does that mean for us, do you think? Like, it was just mm-hmm. a genuine, you know, open question.
Yeah.
And I said something very similar along those lines of just like, I'm hoping that it makes us appreciate our own human creativity even more. And I hope it mm-hmm. makes us like reach out and cherish those moments of authentic creativity, because sure, it's a fact, like AI will be able to do so many things and will be able to replicate human creativity, human work, human thinking very closely, mm-hmm. but it will never be exactly the same. And I hadn't heard of that term, the embodiment, or the, what did you call it? Embodied resonance. I love that. I'm gonna hold on to that one. But you're right, and the AI can't replace that. AI can't create this human connection through words, through energy. Like, we're here on a digital virtual podcast, yet I'm feeling mm-hmm. that from you through our conversation, through our words. And like, if I was talking to an AI bot, like, no, you'd never feel that. So yeah, I agree with you. And like, I'm hoping that people will just sort of recognize and really cherish our uniqueness and our individuality. And, you know, I will be leaning more into my long form content and really trying to share my voice and myself through that, and dig mm-hmm. deep into my own authenticity and myself. I agree with you.
This conversation's, I feel like medicine for me, and I yeah, hope for everyone listening. Like, it's, I feel so like seen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, someone else is thinking it. Cause I feel like I've been in such a, this like creative rut, honestly, of like, I don't want to create anything because I don't know what to create that's like actually me. And it's slowly started to like trickle back in. But now I feel like I've been using this term as like a just being a permission slip in life in general, like being a permission slip for other people to express themselves, or other people to love themselves, or to recognize that they have the power to create their life any way that they want to. And also like be a permission slip for like humanness and fucking up and making mistakes and using ChatGPT and then not feeling good about it. Like, let's all just admit it. Like, we're all learning. We're learning. And like you said, trial and error, mm-hmm. and allowing yourself to shift and change and grow and try different things and like different things over time. Yeah, we're so multifaceted and constantly evolving in our own humanness. So being a permission slip for everyone else to do the same too.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say on that as well, I feel like social media can easily make you feel like you need to box yourself in to, whether that be a niche or a topic or a certain content series aesthetic, that has been, yeah, aesthetic, or if you started a series and it's popped off. Like, I've had many conversations with even other creators and people like, oh, this really started working, so I feel like I should just continue making this style of content. Mm-hmm. And if that really resonates with you, great. But if it doesn't, it's okay to deviate from that. It's okay to say, hey, sure, this performed well, but if it doesn't align with me, then I'm not going to continue going down that path. And that's something that I've been really working on myself. And like, my content has ebbed and flowed, but that's because I, as a human, have ebbed and flowed, and yeah, I've evolved and my interests have changed. And I've realized certain things that used to work for me don't work for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just the hustle of New York, the hustle of America, the hustle of social media doesn't give a lot of space to try new things and pivot and change directions and maybe take a few steps back, maybe go down a completely mm-hmm. different path. So I love that self-validation of a permission slip for yourself, mm-hmm. because you don't need permission from anyone else. You have enough to permit yourself to just be and do what, yeah, you know, what aligns with you in each moment and each day.
Yeah. And if like, and we know that we have the power to create our reality any way that we want to, and that reality can be filled with taking breaks and not showing up all the time and maybe not always being super viral or super seen. Like, we have so much time to create what we're supposed to create, and like, we're both still in our 20s, like, we're so young, like, there's so much life still to be experienced and more changes to go through and more wisdom to gather. So it's like, we don't, again, you don't have to know exactly what it is right now. It's like, I can just enjoy where I am and it'll come to me.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I've been reminding myself of the same things.
Well, I usually ask this question as the first question, but we just like really dove
just
into
jumped
it.
Right
and
in.
It feels right to ask this question as the last question. But Jenny, what makes you smart and hot?
I've listened to your podcast, so I should have prepared an answer.
Well, it's better if you didn't.
Yeah, no, true, true, true. That's my perfectionist mindset hopping in there. What makes me smart and hot? I think my desire to, I don't know, push myself outside my comfort zone right now, that is just helping me grow in so many ways. It's making me feel uncomfortable. It's making me feel some really hard emotions, but equally, it's making me feel so many highs and pride and confidence, and I'm learning new things, expanding my brain, making me more smart. Mm-hmm. I am just really appreciating and accepting my body and where I'm at and like my, how I look and how I am, because it's enabling me to, it's taking me through all these new uncomfortable experiences. Mm-hmm. So why would I not like think I'm hot in that way? Like, yeah, I'm so hot. I'm helping myself get through. And I think, yeah, to specify there, like, I guess the hot piece, like not to get caught up in like the appearance of hot, but it's like an mm-hmm. internal hot, which I assume is your intention there.
Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say that just proving to myself that I can hold myself through moments of discomfort.
Yeah. Wow. That's so, I love that you like said, I can hold myself through these moments of discomfort, because that was like such a mantra for me. Like, I've been a very greatly, very like stable mental place for the past, like 2025. Like, I was able to get off of my SSRI. Like, I got off my Lexapro, and like, I'm so like genuinely like happy and like secure in myself right now, and I feel so grateful for that. And like, when I was really, really, really fucking going through it, my mantra always, I'd be like crying and like literally holding myself, and I'd be like, I can hold myself through this.
Yep.
I would say to myself over and over again, like, I can hold myself through this. And you can, like, we can hold ourselves through anything. And that's not to say that we shouldn't resource ourselves, and like, everyone should be in therapy at least once in their lives, and if you mm-hmm. find the right therapist forever. But yeah, like, you have the power, like, you have the power, you have the tools to, again, create the reality that you want to create, be the person that you want to be. And we can have all the uncomfortable feelings and emotions, and it's actually awesome. Like, I remember getting off my Lexapro and crying for the first time in like over a year.
Because
like the medication, like it helped me, but it numbed me out a little bit. And I remember crying for the first time, and I was just like, yes. It feels so good to feel things. Like, that's what we came here to do. It's like goes back to embodied experience. Like, we came to this earth and entered a human body so that we could like feel and connect and create and like live, like really, really live. So I feel like the juice from today's episode, like the tea, is like to experience life with your full self. And if that means that you've got to not be online as much for a little bit, hell yeah,
so be it. Yeah,
I think that's the medicine that a lot of people need right now.
Yes, I cannot agree more. Just finding the ways that you feel you can live your fullest life through experiencing, through feeling, through connections, through relationships, just like, you know, asking yourself, what does that look like? Not looking elsewhere. What does it look like for other people? Ask yourself, like, what does that look like for me? And how does living a full life feel for me? Because it's going to look different for everyone. And I have gotten so caught up in looking outside of like, well, what's working for this person? What's working for that person? Da da da. But that's only just going to be pulling you further from yourself. Yep. So can't agree more. This was an incredible conversation.
Like, amazing, amazing. I feel so full right now. I'm so grateful. And I'm glad that I'm on like 5 hours of sleep right now. So it's like, we just pulled up and allowed what was supposed to come through to come through. And these types of conversations are what feel like so purposeful. And this like feels the best in me. It's like, let's have a human to human conversation. And again, hopefully make someone feel affirmed that like they don't have to be perfect, and they can be operating from their ego sometimes, or get caught up with like capitalism and all of the pressures that come with being a human and having an ego brain, because humans have never been perfect. We've always been on this like crazy shit since the beginning of time. So humans are imperfect, but the goal is to, you know, inspire a move towards like unity consciousness and true connection and love and all the things.
I can't agree more. And it's going to take more of an intentional effort now than before because of new technology, new advancements, higher expectations of humanity overall. It's going to take more of an effort. And I think that's, I don't know, just a harsh reality, I guess, that we need to face if we want to continue being creative and feeling and being our most authentic selves. Like, it's going to look different now than it will have 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, where can everyone find you, Jenny? Plug all your shit. We can all hang out and be besties.
Oh, yes. I would love that. Well, you can find me on Instagram at jenny.mini. And you can find me on YouTube. I post lots of Paris vlogs are coming soon.
Can't wait.
Just my name, Jenny Minney, JennyMinney on YouTube. I also have a podcast called Perfectly Imperfect, which is available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So you can find that. And I have an Instagram, perfectlyimperfect.pod. So you can find all the links to the different platforms there. Where else? I have been loving Substack recently. I have a Substack called The Imperfect Edit. Been trying to be a little bit more. I don't know. Speaking of showing up and just following your creative alignment, I hated writing in high school. I hated reading books. I hated writing. I just was like, everything English, writing, literature, bye. But I've just been feeling this weird, like, well, not weird. I'm not judging. No judgment here. I've just been feeling this energy to write and read more and, you know, really express myself that way. I think probably because I've just been so fed up with short form content and trying to create that way. So I've been sharing on Substack. I've been starting this like monthly series of just kind of reviewing my months and reflecting. And I've been really, really enjoying that, kind of incorporating some visuals with writing, kind of finding a fun balance. So you can find me there.
Amazing. I need to check it out. I have been wanting to start a Substack for a while. I think it's one of those things that, like, it's like a creative project that I need to like put all the pieces together. Like, I have everything in like various journals and notes on my notes app. But yeah, I would love to start sharing like some of my poetry because I write a lot too. Like I'm such a big journaler. My dad is actually an author.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah. But he didn't start writing until he was like in his 40s. So it's like, I'm like, okay, when I really feel the call to like write and put my stuff out there, like it'll be the right time for it. But I love writing.
There's no timeline. Yeah. You're never too late.
Yeah. And Substack is one of those pure feeling forms of social media, like Substack and YouTube. Like I love YouTube so much. That was like my origin story was like watching like Mac Barbie 07.
I've been watching Ava Jules for years. Do you know her?
Yeah. No, I know of her, but I don't watch her.
Yeah, she's just like, I don't know, always been like my comfort creator and just love. Yeah. But I too, watching vlogs, watching tutorials and all the things in 2011.
Well, it feels like you're connecting with a real human. Like it's like someone's talking and sharing and like that's their actual life. And I think that there's like some positivity in social media that way. It's like we can feel seen in other people. We can see a life that someone else has and like maybe it's like you could either compare yourself to that or be like, look what's possible for me. I'm inspired by that.
Right.
So it can, I think, be a space of empowerment and, again, true creativity and even a space for connection, too. But I think that comes with, like, longer form, like human to human.
Yes.
Connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And the podcasting, too. Like, you know, this conversation came out of podcasting, and I'm just so grateful for that as well. Another great way to connect with real humans.
Beautiful. Well, Jenny, thank you so much. This was seriously a treat, a gift. I'm super, super grateful for you and this episode and for you coming on. I can't wait to do our episode next week.
Yes.
Can't wait to chat again. Already looking forward to it.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, but I'll let you have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and inviting me. And yes, I'm looking forward to our second conversation.
Ooh.